Welcome to the Parkway Life Church podcast. Thank you for taking time to let God's Word impact you. You're always encouraged to know God is touching lives through this ministry. Please visit parkwaylife.com to let us know. You can also hit the Giving tab to sow into the ministry that you are experiencing. Now, prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
God bless you. You may be seated. My name's Shelley Hendricks. I've been friends of this church for many years and just honored to be here with you today. I honor your pastor and his wife, Nate and Adina Keating. I'm so grateful that they pastor a life-giving church in this area. Walk into the church. When I come into the parking lot, the first person that greets me into the foyer, on into the auditorium throughout the service, the smiles, the greeting, lets me know that you're happy that I'm here. And if you're a guest, you can't go to a place where you'd be more welcome. And what a great place to grow in Christ. Amen. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and give your pastor a break. He's been preaching every Sunday and all the stuff that's gone on with Harvey and trying to get this auditorium ready, and all of you have worked so hard as well. So we're just honored that we could give him a break today, and we love to minister the word of the Lord to this great group of people. It's good to see you again and all your smiling faces. The great thing is, on a day when you have to set your clock ahead and you lose your sleep, the great thing about having two services is when you forget or you're not on time, you're like, big deal, we got a second service. I'll go to second service. But we're glad you made it to the house of the Lord today. And I want to share with you a little something today that I call Seasons of God, Seasons of God. And those of you that are familiar with my ministry, a lot of times when I come here, I'm focused on one certain thing. It's usually about receiving the Spirit. So today may be a little different than what you're used to me ministering, but it's something that's really blessed me, and I just want to share the blessing with you today. And I feel like it's very apropos for where this church is at and what you've gone through in the last year. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6 through 8, it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked him," this is Jesus, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And typically when I minister, and I've done many times where I focused on verse 8, but I want you to look at verse 7. If you focus on verse 7, it says, "He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons." It's not for you to know the seasons. It's been put in the Father's own power. He alone knows the times and the seasons. Now, I don't know about you, but I think most people are very inquisitive. It starts as a child, and it goes on into adulthood. And we have this about wanting to know, especially the unknown, the future. Can I know the future? That's why it's a $1 million business of people trying to get their palms read or going to some fortune teller. Please tell me about my future. Please tell me what's going to happen. Somehow I want to know. There's this inquisitive and wanting to know. But then at the same time, there's people that they would say, "I really don't want to know my future because I don't want to know some of the things that may be happening, and I don't know how I would respond if I knew." I'm going to date myself, but I'll go ahead and date myself. And that is, there was a movie years ago that was called Back to the Future. I know anybody over here knows nothing about that. But anyway, Back to the Future. And Back to the Future was about going to the future and then coming back. And so this guy went ahead in the future, and he was able to get a sports magazine that had all of the games that were played in the past. And he had all the scores. So he got that, and then he went back to his present was at, and then he went and bet on all the games, and he became a millionaire because he knew all the scores. And of course, some people will be like, you're crazy, you bet that. And they'd be way behind before the game was over. The other team would come back and win, make an incredible shot. And they're like, how'd you know that, man? And he made all these millions of dollars. And so we know, though, that that's just Hollywood, that we cannot do that. And some of you are like, oh, really? I was hoping we could find that book somewhere and we'd all be set. But sorry, that's not the way that goes. Jesus saw the inquisitiveness of his disciples. His disciples were very eager. They're like, hey, when's this going to happen? You know, we're here and things are going great, but we need to know, you know, when are we taking over? When are we going to be in charge? And Jesus just really clearly says to them, say, hey, that's not for you. You're not going to know the times. You're not going to know the seasons. That's what the Father has put in his power, and that's what he is supposed to know. It is not for us. And sometimes that's hard for us to take. And Jesus wanted them to know, he wanted them to focus on a certain thing. Sometimes we are left to enjoy a season, because they were talking about seasons. That's where they were living. And then sometimes with seasons, we are forced to endure seasons. And it depends on what season you are in your life, whether you want it to continue or whether you want it to end. I can think of times with your children at certain ages. You're like, this is so fun. I'm loving this so much. Man, I just wish they could stay this age. And then when they're two, you're like, God, how long are they going to be two? Really, is this... The comfort is it's only a season. It will pass. And so then we're left to endure the season. Many of you can think about your childhood. Think about your childhood. And those of you that have pleasant memories of how you just go outside and play. There's no responsibility. You know, just play, do whatever you want to do, come in. Mom would have food fixed for you. You tell her what you want, she fixed whatever you wanted. Go back out and play, come in, dinner's ready, and you're with your friends, you're hanging out. There's no responsibility. It's just awesome. Can I just stay in this age forever? We had a guy who was our music director, and we were in Cincinnati, and he lived with us some. He became almost like our son, and he posted on Facebook not too long ago, I'm tired of this adult thing. I would just love to go back to being a child. Will anybody take me in and allow me to do that, you know? And my wife's got a bleeding heart. She's like, oh, yeah, you can come stay with us. I'm like, hey, we don't have room. No, we're not doing that. Sorry. But there's seasons you want to stay in. And then there's other seasons you're going through. You're like, when is this ever going to end? I mean, you think about baseball teams, basketball teams. We're undefeated. We're winning every game. The enthusiasm, the crowd's going wild. This is awesome. Can we stay here? We're undefeated. We're the champs. We just want to keep winning games. But that season will end. And then you'll have to go into another time. So I'm here today because some people, you're in a season. And the season you're in is not pleasant. It's been tough and difficult. Maybe even some depression came on you and you're trying to get through it. You know, I think about seasons that I've lived in, natural seasons. I lived in Cincinnati for about 10 years, and so we have four distinct seasons: summer, spring, fall, and winter. We have snow, we have sleet, we have rain, we have all that. And so with those four distinct seasons, I miss those seasons because you wear different clothing, different things you do. You know, the first snow, we'd fix a pot of chili and hot chocolate chip cookies and ice cream. And man, come on, snow, just get here, man. I want to eat this stuff, you know, or some gumbo or whatever. Just certain things. And I miss those seasons and those times. And a lot of times we don't have those here. Our seasons kind of run together sometimes. We're unsure here what season we're in because it'll be 50 and then it's 75. You're like, oh, what season is this? You know, you have to look at the calendar just to make sure. Today I want to talk to you about more than a game, more than a childhood expression or something that you've gone through. I want to talk about where you're living right now, seasons you're going through in your life. And for some of you, this has been a very long season. My comfort to you today is it's a season. It's not going to last forever. There were times that you thought the season was coming to an end, and you found out that it was really just beginning. You've been overwhelmed, depressed, no answers. You've cried out to God, many tears, hoping, believing, expecting there to be a change, but you wake up and things are no better, and many times they're worse. And the question comes to mind, will this season ever end? This church has gone through this with the state you're in, with your facility. We are in this building because of a season that you're going through right now. But it's not going to last forever. And I believe that I've come today to help you with a word from the Lord. I can't tell you what the future is, but I know who knows the future. And I know that He knows the seasons, and He knows the times. Jesus is talking to His disciples before He leaves earth, and He's telling them, look, you guys are so concerned when the kingdom's going to be taken over. I don't want you to worry about the seasons. I don't want you to worry about the times. And then He flips and tells them what He does want them to focus on, and that's verse 8. And He says to them, what I want you guys to focus on is ye will receive power. You're not going to have power to know the times and seasons, but you're going to receive power after the Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be witnesses unto me in all of these areas. He told them, I want you to understand, you're going to receive this power so that it will help you through these seasons. You will have the power not only to witness, but to go through these seasons because you're focusing on the Spirit. And let me just say this. When you're going through things in the natural and everything you see seems like devastation, it is difficult for you to focus on the spiritual. Because what we see and what we feel affects us many times spiritual, and we forget that faith is not what we feel. Faith is what we know. Faith is what we believe. And so when we're trying to focus on the spiritual, we're having all these things happen to us in the natural. So Jesus is trying to bring clarity to them and saying, guys, you're trying to focus on these things you see when I'm trying to get you to focus on the spiritual things. I'm not concerned about when Israel's going to be in charge. I'm concerned about you personally. I want you to know that seasons can change, and God ordains the change of those seasons. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, or chapter 10, verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, I want you to get this, go not. Everybody say, go not. Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. Do not talk to the Gentiles. Everybody here, that's us mainly. Probably most everybody here is a Gentile or Samaritan. Do not go to the Samaritans. Do not go to them. This is Jesus telling them. You're not going to them. But look what happens and what the people they do go to. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at all these wonderful things. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give. So Samaritans and Gentiles, you're left out. Jews, healing, miracles, people raised. It's just incredible the things that are happening. They're going to the Jews and these things are happening. In Matthew 10:14, he says, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. He said, just go to the next town. So it's very clear to them, we're not going to do anything for the Gentiles. We're not doing anything for the Samaritans. We're only going to the Jews. Can you hear me? This is from Jesus. This is the season we're in. We're going to minister to the Jews. We're not ministering Gentiles. We're not ministering Samaritans. And then, like this, it changed. One day, Jesus looked at them and said, hey, I got to go to Samaria. They're like, say what? I have to go to Samaria. Wait a minute. You told us not to go to Samaria. What changed? What happened? It's a different season. And then he blew their mind when he told them in verse chapter 4 of John, verse 23 and 24, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. What changed? The season changed. Jesus said, I was just ministering to the Jews, but now it's come a time to open it up to everybody, not just to the Jewish people. And so he changed the season. And the disciples had to wrap their mind around that, going from not talking to them to now, let's reach out to the Gentiles and to the Samaritans. Look at how it changed in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Every person that received the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they were all Jews, every one of them. No Samaritans. But in Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans got involved. In Acts chapter 10, God opened up the door for the Gentiles, but look how difficult it was for Peter to realize it was another season. He was staying in that season where he was at, where it was just Jews. God had to send a message to him three times, let down a sheet, give him a vision, see it three times. And he was so hard-headed. God was telling him something to do, and he was arguing with God. Have you ever done that? God was saying, hey, do this. He's like, no, I ain't doing that, God. And God, do that. No, I'm not doing that, God. I've never done that. I'm not doing that. And finally, God got through to him and said, hey, this is a season. I'm going to start reaching these people over here. And he got through to him, and Peter went. He's speaking the word. The power of God falls on them. He's amazed that it happened. He had to go to Jerusalem and defend God moving on people. He had to go and say, hey, guys, I couldn't help it. I was just preaching, and God's Spirit came on them. I couldn't stop God. And they were like, well, I guess if God's moving on, we're going to let that be okay. Man had to okay what God was doing. It was a season thing. It was a change of seasons. And God started ministering on Gentiles. For me, thank you, God, for opening up the kingdom for me. I'm a Gentile. Thank God he opened the kingdom up. And he changed seasons. And so it was difficult for Peter to accept that. As I come today, I hurt for some of you. And the reason why is I know for many of you, this last year has been very difficult. For some of you, face family problems, situations with your children, finding friends that put distance between you, and you wonder why the change. It's a season in your life. It's just a season. I can only tell you what Jesus told his disciples. It's not for us to know. You can try to figure it out, but you're not going to be able to figure it out. It's just a season that you're going through. We don't know when it will end, but we do know that God has given you the power through the Spirit to go through any season that you face in your life naturally. He's given you that power. And I've watched people stand in very difficult seasons in their lives and wonder how they are able to endure. How were they able to have the peace? How could they continue in their lives and have the right attitude? It is only through the power of the Spirit that God gives people that enables them to stand and be a witness wherever they go, that God's presence is with them no matter what season they go through in their life. I know of a story that I'd like to relate to you today. It's a story of a man that was involved in ministry for over 30 years, traveled around the world, pastored, assisted people, evangelized, administrative pastor, many different ministries. But at some point, after 30-something years, he was called into a meeting. And in that meeting, he found out that there was going to be a change. And in that change, he was no longer going to be a part of ministry of that team. He left there, and of course, like all people do, started praying, okay, God, what's next? What do you want me to do? What direction do you have for my life? And it was as if the prayers were not getting through the ceiling. And so, trying to provide for the family, he began to work one job after another, 7, 8 different jobs, had to leave the city and worked in a state away from his family for a couple months. That wasn't working. Thought it got a break. Son called. He was going to be able to work with his son. Worked with his son for 5 months. And after 5 months, his son resigned. 3 weeks later, they walked in the office and said, we've decided to go in a different direction. In 1 year, fired twice. Never been asked to leave. Never been fired before. As a matter of fact, been asked to stay many times. So now, God, what do? I don't have a job. This was on a Thursday. He had savings, but that savings continued to dwindle down until down to $200 and no job. This was on Thursday. already had tickets to go to his mom's 80th birthday, so flew up there. Didn't want to tell his wife he lost his job because they're celebrating his mom's birthday. So after the celebration, a few days, his wife come to him and she says, "Did you lose your job?" He said, "Yes, I did." So coming home, thinking, can things get any worse? On Thursday, he lost his job. On Friday, Hurricane Harvey hit. So now he's coming back to a devastated city, looking for a job, people trying to recover. What's he going to do? Nowhere to know to go for a job. So what's he do? He goes to a church, not knowing what to do, but doing what he'd been taught to do. Started helping other people. Going to houses, tearing out sheetrock, giving food, handing out water, pouring out, not knowing where the job's going to come. But in prayer, he remembers someone and says, "I need to contact them." Contacts that person contacts someone else, they call him, and they hire him on the phone without meeting him. Starts working the job, and that job opens up another avenue of income to where more jobs are coming and more jobs are coming, and his finances begins to turn around. You see, I know that story really well because it's me. It's my story. What people don't understand is a lot of times when you read things in the Word of God, we can relate. But then when it starts happening to you, you start asking a lot of questions. For instance, Paul. Paul had a purpose, but Paul had many seasons in his life. Acts 9 and 13 says that Ananias answered the Lord, "I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on his name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." This is the apostle Paul who was named Saul. But what people fail to realize, Paul was considered the greatest apostle. The greatest. But what people fail to read is that for 3 years he was making tents. Not preaching in a pulpit, not teaching anywhere, just sharing the gospel wherever he went and making tents, working with his hands. I looked at that. God showed me that. And I said, "God, who am I? If the great apostle Paul made tents and waited for God to open the door for him to minister, who am I to think that I can't go out and work with my hands?" After being most of my income derived from ministry for over 30 years, and God then opened these other doors and it began to flow. The blessings began to take place. Here is a man chosen of God for the Gentiles. We talk about seasons. Paul was a Jew. He wanted to minister to the Jews. He wanted to help the Jews. But God said, "You know what? I have you for the Gentiles." And Paul's season changed, and after those 3 years, he started traveling, ministering to the Gentiles, and opened up the greatest revival and harvest of souls that would ever seen. And you and I are a part of that because Paul was willing to move seasons. Seasons come and seasons go, and we don't know how long the season will last. But we just flow into the season until another season is revealed. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 says it this way: "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." Everything. Nothing is excluded. And we get what we call John the Baptist syndrome. You say, "What's John the Baptist syndrome?" Everybody wants to be John the Baptist, and no one wants to be John the Baptist. You say, "Why is that?" John the Baptist was the guy that paved the way for Jesus. He was the forerunner. Everybody was coming to him saying, "Baptize me." He had all the crowds. Everybody was looking at him, "Oh, that's great. John the Baptist is awesome. I want to be John the Baptist." But then when John the Baptist, 6 months later, gets in prison and there's nobody there, and they say they're going to cut your head off, nobody wants to be John the Baptist. You see, we all talk about how important the kingdom is, and we fill positions in the kingdom. And some people say, I want to be used, I want to be used. And then you get used, and then when they're not using you anymore, you say, I feel used. Right? The kingdom of God, we say it's bigger than us. But how is it? John preached it himself. He must increase and I must decrease. Man, when you're baptizing people, Pastor, and thousands are coming to you, it's easy to preach that. When you start decreasing, this is harder to live than it is to preach. And he's sitting in prison and his mind starts thinking, God, really? After I've served you and paved the way and everything I've done for you, okay, I'm going to be Shelly now, okay? 30 years of ministry, full time, doors opening up. What's going on, God? Really? Is this it? You can talk about being all about the kingdom, but when it's time for someone else to be exalted and it's time for you to decrease, you find out if it's really about the kingdom. And John says, could I get a visitor? And the visitor comes and he says, would you go tell Jesus, would you just ask him if he's the one? You know, did I do all this? Is he really the one? Because see, when you're in prison and Jesus won't even visit you, you thought you had problems because you were in the hospital and the pastor didn't come to see you. This guy's in prison getting ready to get his head cut off, and he can't get Jesus to visit him. So Jesus sends one of his assistants. Read it. It's in the Bible. Disciple goes back, says, Jesus got a word for you. He said, what's that? You know, he's thinking, hey, dude, I'm getting out of here. Oh, this is going to be awesome. Jesus got a word for him. No. Because not every season goes the way we think it was going to go. See, we plan things. We think, hey, this is going to work, man. It's really working good. This is going to be awesome. And then we find out that it's not going to work. And then you're like, okay, what do we do now? And Jesus says, here's the word. And sometimes the word's hard to receive, but you got to receive it when it comes from Jesus. He said, you tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the dumb speak, and the dead are raised to life. And you think, John's like, oh, that's awesome. But then you got to get the rest of the word. Tell John, don't be offended. And Jesus said he was the greatest apostle. And he only ministered for 6 months. Excuse me, the greatest prophet. 6 months. The greatest prophet ministered the shortest amount of time. And you know why I think Jesus said he was great? Because he wasn't offended. He did his part. He fulfilled what God wanted him to do. And he said, hey, if that's what I'm due to forerun, set Christ up, that's it. And if I am to be in the prison, then I am to be in the prison. And this is just a season in my life. It's not going to last forever. You find out if you're really all about the kingdom, if you're not about a kingdom, whenever you're not exalted, but you're here. Paul said it best. I know how to be exalted and I know how to be abased. And I'm going to serve God through it all. Is it about God or is it about God? Amen? So the John the Baptist syndrome, John the greatest prophet, but it didn't end the way he thought it would. I'm sure he'd like for that season baptizing all those people, Pastor, to last a lot longer than 6 months. But it didn't. It was Jesus' time. Exalted. You see, I came to help you today because I don't want you to be stuck in your season. I want you to be able to move on from your season. Some of you are like, please tell me what to do to get out of this season. Just tell me. I'm going to tell you what I did. I'm going to tell you how God helped me. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3 through 4. I'm going to read that. These are instructions that I'll give you that come straight from the Word of God. Verse 3 says, then he said, go borrow the thief vessels abroad, and all the neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons, shalt pour out in all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Just leave that there for a minute. Let me set this up for you. This is a woman that is married. She has two sons. Some of the seasons we go through, we bring on ourselves. Other seasons, you have nothing to do with it. It's just life that happens. Nobody's against you. Nobody's trying to hurt you. Nobody has an ulterior motive. It's just life. And this is what happened to this woman. Her and her husband evidently decided to buy something. They had a debt. And as long as he had a job, they could pay the debt. But he died suddenly, and her life completely changed. And back then, if you owed a debt, you know what they did? They came and got your sons, and they worked until the debt was paid. They had to become servants. And this was getting ready to happen to her. She didn't have any money or anything. But the prophet came, and he told her something to do. And if you're going to get out of your season, you're going to have to listen to the man of God and do what he asked you to do. That's the first thing. The second thing is he asked her, what do you have? She said, I only have a little oil. In order for you to get out of your season, you have already in your house or within you what you need to get out of the season. I'll use myself. When I was in that place, I had the $200. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I started praying. You have to stay in tune with the Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, don't worry about the natural things. Tune into the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you. If you'll hear what the Spirit says. And as I was praying, I was praying for God to send somebody that I didn't know to open a door for me. But that's not what happened. What happened was, it was somebody that I knew in the back of my mind, and I contacted them, and that person contacted somebody else, and then that person called me and hired me without ever seeing me or meeting me. I believe that was a God thing. Okay? But the person I contacted, I already knew it was within me. This lady, she took what she had in her house. She only had a little bit of oil, but it was hers. She didn't go to somebody else's house and get oil. She had the oil. But here's the key. She was willing to pour it out. You see, when we have very little left, we tend to hold it. We tend to withdraw from people when we go through these seasons. And we don't need to withdraw. We need to be able to pour ourselves out. And when I came home without a job, I was like, I need to go look for a job. And I just said, there's no reason to look for a job right now. I'm just going to have to let God work. Because let me tell you something. God can work a whole lot faster than you can. I don't care how fast you can type and get on the internet and know all the secrets. God can work faster than you. And he knows who to put you in contact with. And so I just started pouring myself out. I started helping other people that needed help, pouring myself into that. I wasn't afraid to start pouring myself out where I've been withdrawn and I've been holding myself out and backing off and not being around people. God said, no, I want you to invest in other people. Pour yourself out. And I can't tell you the blessings of God that came to me when I started pouring into other people. Even though I didn't have, I got that job the next week. It was only 1 week without a job. I got the job next week. I would go to a job, and then while I was at that job, I get another job and another job and another job and another job. And God started giving me favor with people, and they started calling me into all these different places to go and do this work. And God started blessing me financially. I had a house I couldn't sell in Ohio. I called and said, I don't know if I can make the payments. They said, you don't worry about it. You're not going to have to make payments for 3 months. That's favor. I called the people with my truck. Don't worry about it. You don't have to make the payment. We got it taken care of. And I stand here today, 6 months later from when I only had $200. And God has blessed me financially. And I'm in a place right now that I haven't been in a long time financially because of God's favor. You have to be willing to pour out what you have left. You know what would have happened, Pastor? If she held on to that, that's all she would have had. But she poured it out. And notice, she poured it out, not into her vessels. What did he say do? Go and borrow vessels from somebody else. She poured her oil in somebody else's vessel, but she got the blessing for it. Oh, I'm going to say it again because I don't think some of you got it. She poured her oil in somebody else's vessel, and because of that, she was blessed. Her sons were blessed. Her family was blessed, and they got out of the season they were in. I'll just be honest with you. Did I feel like things were changing? Not really, because it didn't happen like that. Any season, it's just a little change at a time. Like here, you know, we'll feel a little cool breeze. You're like, hey, man, maybe fall's coming. You know, we've been burning up for 6 months. Maybe fall's coming. And then it'll leave. You're like, oh, it's 95 degrees. Then you feel a little bit more. Hey, maybe it's changing. Why? Because season doesn't change like that. But slowly it starts to change. And that's what you've got to realize is you start feeling those changes. When you walk out of here today, I'm believing that your season is going to start changing. God is going to know the time and the season. God would blow my mind with one miracle after another. I still talk to my wife and we are astounded at the blessings of God. We'll look at each other and say, I can't believe this. I can't believe where we were at financially and where we're at right now. How did you do this, God? And it's just a God thing when you pour yourself out. Just remember, God has the power in His hand to make a change and in His time to move you into a new season. Would you stand with me? Galatians 6 and 9 says it this way, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, would you say that with me? In due season we shall reap if we faint not. This church has been in a season, and it's been difficult. Has that just been difficult for you? It's been difficult for your pastor and his wife, and they try to stay strong, give you the strength that you need. But I want you to know, this season's not going to be here forever. When you look at a situation, when spring comes, you look for little signs. Just little signs. You go out and you'll be driving, all of a sudden, you'll look up in the tree and be like, is that a bud? It's so brown, it's so gray, but it looks like a little green bud there. I mean, it's very small, but you know what it does? It gives you hope. Hey, spring's coming. Spring's coming. The next day, it's a little more. I'm going to ask you, when you walk out of here today, start looking for the signs that your season is changing. And it won't be drastic. Just be a little. But then that gives you the hope. It's changing. It's changing. I'm believing you, God. I'm trusting you, God. I'm going to pray a prayer over you in this church. Would you bow your head and let me pray for you? You know the pain. You know the hurt, the sorrow, the loss that these people have had in their homes, and their families, and relationships, whatever it is, God, that they've lost. I know you can restore that and more, God. You can blow their minds with a miracle, and you're going to do that. I pray for these individuals as they walk out today, God. Even though we're going through difficult times, what we see in the natural is not what's happening in the spiritual. Help them to rely on the Spirit to strengthen them, to guide them, to help them, to move them forward. Help them not to lean to their own understanding, because they will not understand it. But help them to trust in the Lord with all of their heart. You know the season we're in, and we're going to keep trusting. We're going to keep believing you, because you're moving us to a new season. I pray for this church. This church. Two things I want you to get in that. God is faithful, and He never changes. Seasons change, but God doesn't change. And the one thing that God helped me with through that is, at my lowest point, I stood in that shower, I got on my knees, and I wept, and I began to cry and said, I give up, God. What do you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? And I went back to the essence, is God wanted me to trust Him. Me and my wife, we said, God, you're our provider. God, you're our provider. Nobody else provides for us but you. You're our provider. Put your faith in God, Put your trust in God. He's the one that's going to help you out of that season and go into that new season. Can you clap your hands and thank you that God is faithful? He's there. He's faithful. Amen. As you leave today, hug somebody, high five them, smile real big and say, we're going into a new season. I can't wait for Parkway to get to your new building because I've got great expectations of what God's going to do. Be excited about what Jesus is doing in your life. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.